Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Introducing.
All three judges are in favour of the winner and the new Commonwealth lightweight champion from Birkenhead, Mata.
Sean Dodd gets it. Wider on the cards than we had it.
Introducing.
The winner from Liverpool, Tony the Warrior Dodson.
Good morning to Sean and Tony. How are you, lads?
Morning, Stevie.
Morning, Stevie.
All good.
Right, loads to get. There's so many different boxing stories. Let's start with Rio Ferdinand. So, 38 years old, former footballer. We saw Curtis Woodhouse switch from football to boxing and actually made a career of it. Now, is this just a PR stunt for someone at the age of 38? I mean, he is in ripped shape, isn't he? He looks amazing. No. Can he actually come onto the scene and do anything boxing-wise?
I will finish this conversation.
It reminds me of Flint.
I will finish this conversation in one word. End the conversation.
You're not taking it seriously. You said
No. It's regardless of whether the ticket's serious or not, whether he gets in the ring or not, he will be absolutely rubbish. Pointless, absolutely pointless to get some dough. Pointless.
He probably doesn't need dough.
I'll fight him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll fight him.
Same weight category?
Whatever weight he wants to be, I'll make it.
Right, so you don't think he could actually fight anyone at any
I
sort
guarantee
of
you I'll
weight.
Put him fast asleep within 30 seconds.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
Good on him, you know what I mean? It's entertainment, isn't it? I would love to see him get in there. And whether he does it or he doesn't, it's entertainment. If he does it, good on him. If he does it, then it's funny,
things like that take the shine away from people like yourself who have grafted your whole life to get to where you're done the proper way. But because he was a footballer, he's going to get attention, going to get silly money.
So?
What you and me should be entitled to.
Yeah, but
it's a farce. That's all it is.
He's a football player. He's a well-known football player. He wants to try his hand at boxing. Give him a go. Let him have a go.
Whatever. You see, I think it's good for the sport. Because
let him have an amateur fight.
I think boxing needs to reinvent itself. UFC is close on its tail. Mm. Boxing maybe is lacking that little bit of a sparkle.
So bringing footballers into fight is going to sort that? No, it's not.
It just needs a bit of reinvention in
various
ways.
But that's not reinventing it. That's going backwards.
It's coming backwards. It's coming from another angle.
Yeah.
And the footballer having a go. He sort of fancies himself as well as a big centre-half. Bit of an arc. You've seen him many a time.
Let's have it then.
You know, putting on people's toes. So give him a go at a real man's game. And if he comes up trumps, good on him. Fair play. But if he doesn't...
You've seen him on the pads.
He'll get it.
You've seen how shocking he is. His boxing ability is zero.
But he might just get a little check of how hard it is.
No, he won't. They'll throw him in with a bum. That'll make him look that he can actually fight him and give him false confidence in his brain.
Then he'll have another one.
That'll get him hurt. So, no, it's a bad idea.
Listen, he's a grown man. He knows what it's about.
I'll have a couple of rounds of sparring with him. And then he'll change his mind.
Listen, I'm not his manager, mate.
he's probably your half his size. You probably still punch his head in.
I'm not his manager. Otherwise, I've set it up.
This is the direction that the sport's going in terms
of... Yeah, of course, why not?
You know, we've seen Mayweather-McGregor. You mentioned Andrew Flintoff, which was a while back, but people still remember it, don't they?
Yeah.
There's far more different things in boxing now because it's trying to appeal to everyone.
I'm one for little change here and there. What harm can it do? It can't
Any
do
news
harm.
Is good news. That's the point of it. But no, I'm just not for me.
Listen, I will look forward to it. Simple as. I look forward to Flintoff. I got up and watched McGregor. I didn't get up and watch Canelo or Alvarez.
You missed out.
No, I watched it the next day, Sunday, properly. But I got up to watch McGregor because you know why? Because it's a weird event that you don't want to miss.
I stayed in bed.
Yeah, but there you go. But I got off for McGregor, but I didn't.
So Canelo, Triple G was a fight you didn't want to miss.
I didn't miss it.
The other farce was not worth getting up for.
Hang on, Tony. What was more damaging to the sport, Canelo Triple G and the scoring, or Mayweather McGregor?
The scoring.
Doesn't that say everything?
There you go.
No. That's more damaging to boxing.
But this woman has done this. Before, in the Canelo fight with Mayweather, she actually gave Canelo a win. Mayweather won the split.
It's entertainment at the end of the day.
That woman shouldn't be allowed near the boxing ring ever again.
So you watched the fight? You watched it?
Yep, watched it. Yeah, okay. Live.
The quality shone through?
Yeah, for me, Canelo was outstanding for the first six rounds.
Well, I saw you put on your social media. Did you? you thought he'd won at one stage?
No. Up to round six. I thought
he
controlled everything.
It's a 12-round fight.
Exactly, you're right, Mash. And then whatever got said in the corner, Triple G come out and he turned the screw. His pressure was starting to get to Canelo. Canelo started blowing.
He was good in to round to first six, one rounds, to six, but yeah. He didn't win every them rounds.
They were close.
They were close, but he didn't win.
Is the thing: is if no one's landing clean shots in rounds, they're gonna score it to the aggressor who throughout the whole fight was Triple G. So I had Triple G win it by about three rounds in the end. But up to round six, seven. I just thought Canelo boxed superbly. Maybe he didn't have enough in the tank to keep it going for a full 12 because
I think
his counter-punching was great. It was phenomenal.
What he said at the end of the fight when he got asked the question about Golovkin's power, he just said, no, didn't hurt me, weren't worried.
Well,
but I think he was lying.
He caught him flush a few times. Like,
yeah, and that's why as the fight went on, he stayed more away and threw less shots.
Do you agree when fighters shake their head and say it doesn't hurt them, they're lying?
Yeah, and he shook his head a lot.
Just acknowledging yeah. that you've been it. Yeah. Is saying that, you know, yeah, you caught me.
I'm a fan of Golovkin and I love Canelo, but I'll be honest, I sort of, I've lost a little bit for Canelo because he weren't honest in his post.
Yeah, he shouldn't have put his hands up and said, no, I thought maybe he'd just slightly lost it, but we're doing it again.
No, just the things he said, you know, I think he was a bit disrespectful.
I didn't see the interview, went back to bed.
I thought Golovkin definitely won and Canelo was lying.
So it wasn't a close scorecard.
No,
at the end of it.
No. I thought Triple G.
Two of the judges put quite close.
Like I said, the rounds. It depends how judges score it. People score for aggression.
The fight and some rounds were close, but Golovkin probably just won the rounds.
Yeah,
so he should have won on all score. It should have been a unanimous.
I thought he won. I won two, three rounds. That's why I had Triple G winning.
Yeah, I had them about four or five rounds.
Maybe it suits them both to fight again.
Business.
More money.
Don't people get it? It's a business. That's why it was a draw.
If Canelo would have won. He won't have the rematch.
Do you know when it's
going to
be?
Was it a draw, weren't it?
It was a draw.
Yeah, I think they will have the rematch.
It's going to be Cinco de Mayo, is it? That day that they have the Mexicans is their national day or something, Cinco de Mayo.
That was a Mexican day as well, weren't it?
Yeah, I know, but that was their national something day, whatever. But Cinco de Mayo is like a massive day for them.
All
in
favour
of
Canelo.
Yeah, and it will be again. They'll have it in Vegas. It's a multi-million-pound fight.
He's the Iceman, isn't he? He's cool as.
And what a chin.
Yeah, I love him. I think he's great.
Just, how disheartening must it be for a fight? Well, I've done it. Quigley was like that. You hit him with the kitchen sink and he just don't budge. It's so disheartening as a fighter to give it 110% and for the person just to look at you as if, like, come on, savvy.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Fight night last weekend at the Liverpool Echo Arena, where Callum Smith did the business in the quarterfinals of the World Series against Eric Skoglund. A name that we weren't all that familiar with, but I tell you what, he turned out to be some warrior, competitor.
The guy was ranked in the top three in the world by all governing bodies with the light heavyweight division. You know, the guy's no mug.
Nope.
I mean, even watching the fight, his style was a little bit awkward, a little bit not conventional boxing. He was very, very awkward and not great to watch, but he was so strong. He could take a shot until the 11th round when Callum copped him.
Was there a little bit of a worry in the middle of the fight, Masha, where all of a sudden Skoglund came on strong and started jabbing Callum, who didn't seem to know how to react to it?
Yeah, his counters were quick, weren't he? You know, he was busy.
I didn't expect that jab to be so good, though, to be fair.
Yeah,
you're
good
right.
jab. But he had good counters. Like, Callum was, when Callum was leading off, he was drawing Callum in and he was sort of, he was there to be hit. Callum's tall and rangy. Then Callum would let the shots go and then he'd fall short and then he was
quick to counter, wasn't he?
His feet were quick. He was in and out. He was jumpy. Callum hit him with a good shot in the first round as well, where normally he takes people out with them shots. Skoglund took that shot well and still fought for many, many rounds until...
This is what happens when you move up in levels. The people at the top don't fall over as easy. You'll see that as the fights go on, and Skoglund was a perfect example.
Well, he was unbeaten, wasn't he?
Exactly. This is why this tournament is so good, because they are the elite fighters in the division. There's only one missing him, which is James DeGale, which will probably fight the winner of whoever wins this.
I love the razzmatazz of the evening. You know, even the light show beforehand.
The Germans done it just on a different level, didn't he?
It was good, wasn't it?
Sauerland and I done it brilliant. It was amazing to watch as well. Some good fights on the undercard as well. It was an all-round really good show and set a standard for everybody else to try and live up to.
It was hard to believe that that was in the Echo Arena.
It didn't look like it, did it?
No, I was thinking, is that in the actual Echo or in the place next door?
Because they got two, haven't they? Got the exhibition centre.
Was it in the next door?
No. It was in the arena.
Just
looked different the way they set it out.
The way the booze was set out and the lights.
I just think them Germans have got it done to a T. They've mastered it. When you see their arenas, they pack out like 80,000 people who sit there correctly, well behaved, clapping properly. Yeah. Every punch, you know, they appreciate the sport. They treat sportsmen how they should be treated. Whereas in this country, as you've seen on the Billy Joe Saunders fight, they get drunk, rowdy, start punching women, start doing silly things, and, you know, it needs to be addressed. People should behave properly at these tournaments because, you know, let's go back to what we were saying the other week with Paul Bentley. It's a gentleman's sport, and that's the way it should be.
Reinventing the sport a little bit there. Soon you might have a Rio Ferdinand fight at the start of the night.
Don't start me with him. Wire me up.
Ahead of the main event at the end. But well done, Callum, who goes through there. And, of course, a couple of the other contenders, George Groves, Eubank Jr., they're in action within the next month, aren't they? It's probably best to get your fight out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. He set the standard, Annie.
Yeah, man. He's got the ball rolling now so he can relax and watch everyone else and prepare, ready for the next round.
Get himself ready for whoever he's next.
Pressure's
off.
You
can sit back now, pressure's off here.
Yeah, right. Got him.
Luke Campbell against Jorge Linares.
Linares is going to stop him both between 7 and 10, I'd say.
This is of special interest to you, isn't it, Masha?
Yeah, funny enough, being in the lightweight division, we think Linares is going to win. And if Linares wins, then that means, you know, what does, you know,
Campbell do next?
Does he stay? It depends on how he loses, but it's whether he loses, you know what I mean? He's a southpaw, he's a good kid. He may step up to the plate on the night. And if he wins, then he's up there. It's just one of them. You know, anything can happen, but
it's a good fight. On paper, it's a good fight. I mean, Campbell's got excellent boxing skills, fast hands, he can punch a bit. But for me, Linares is pound for pound, possibly one of the best on the planet. He's just a different level.
Three-weight world champion.
Yeah, he's just a different level.
I beat Stalker, and then, you know, if Campbell was to get beat, quite convincingly, what people do, a lot of people think, I don't myself, then he might want to step down a level and I could get that shot against Campbell. Yeah, against another southpaw, perfect.
It's about taking chances, isn't it?
You just never know, do you?
Dreams could happen. So he's fighting for the WBA, WBC Diamond and Ring Magazine lightweight titles. And that is this weekend, so good luck.
Which to normal people who are listening means it is the nuts in boxing. Yeah. That is it. That is the pinnacle of what you can get.
This is in LA. LA on Saturday night. Right, other stories. Does Jake LaMotta mean anything? It would mean something to you, wouldn't it?
Thanks, Steve.
Well, you're slightly older than Masha, aren't you?
Slightly, literally.
I've met him, and I've also got...
You've not.
I met him on his last visit to the UK. I've got a few little things. I've got a picture above my head in the living room where I sit all the time, and his picture is above me.
A photograph
with his shorts, a photograph of us signed, and then the week later, there was a Sugar Ray Leonard show over in Liverpool. This was in Birkenhead.
You mean a talk?
Jake LaMotta was in Birkenhead. That's where I met him. My mate, Gagsy, got him over. And then the week later, Sugar Ray Leonard was in the Liverpool doing a talk show.
Devonshire House, wasn't it?
Devonshire, that's right, with Davy Price and stuff. This is when Davy Price was headlining the Echo, and I'd just started fighting myself, and Davy Price gave me a good shout, like said, to Sugar Ray Leonard, and I went up and shook down because it was when I won the award. It was like a raffle lottery type award. Everyone in the there was like 500 people in there. Every person got like a bingo card, and they called numbers out, and if your number was on a card, you scratch it
bingo!
Off. No, you scratch it off until you were left with a number. If all your numbers were scratched off, then everyone had to stand up in the whole
Won a game of bingo, didn't you?
But I won a message from Jake LaMotta. It was a signed photo with him knocking Sugar Ray Robinson down, and he wrote a personal message in to say, this is my last visit to the UK.
Just while you've just said about Pricey there, he didn't box on the show on the weekend he was supposed to. I think he's broke his hand. I think. Really? I don't know whether anyone can confirm that, but I know he's damaged his hand. It was gutted for the big fella. I want to see him back. He's got so much talent. The guy just... Honestly, I want
to see him back.
Yeah.
Right, so we were talking about Jake LaMotta because he sadly passed away. He was immortalised by Robert De Niro in the movie Raging Bull.
Great film.
I've never seen it,
What?
Right, a couple more headlines to get through. Hey Bellew, it looks like it's back on. So David Hayes doing all the noises on his social media, and he says it's taken months of negotiating, but teams have finally agreed all the terms for Hey Bellew 2. Will Bellew put pen to paper? Well, look, as soon as the last fight happened, Tony came in here and everyone was saying, I'll go for a world title belt. He said on this show, as soon as the last one happened, I will fight Hay again.
Man of his word.
So it's always been on the cards. And now it seems like it's virtually there, but it's taken forever, hasn't it?
Yeah, but if it makes money, it makes sense. And the terms have got to be on Bomber's behalf. And obviously David wasn't budging. From what Bomber says, David wasn't budging. He was trying to act like he was in control, which he's not. Bomber's in control now. So obviously for them to have agreed terms, David will have to have given in to whatever Bomber wanted, which rightfully so, you know, Bomber won the first fight. So, you know, he should be in control. And
Man in demand,
that's it.
Can Hay trust his Achilles? Once your Achilles has snapped, is there an issue there?
Tony's the man to ask.
So why are you looking at him? But you know,
yeah. Well, do you know what? I don't know why I was. It's always on his mind, isn't it?
Listen, I doing treadmill sprints yesterday. I can do 6 miles in probably 40 minutes. You know, I can run. I'm perfect now. You can bring it back. I mean, don't get me wrong. The rehab is hard. I've been seeing a physio still up till like last week. Still seeing a physio. I'm still getting help from Tony Pete as well. Yeah, it's one of the worst injuries you can get in sport.
But the body does what it does best, and it heals itself.
Yep, it does.
And you come back stronger.
Do you know what? I know what, yeah. I'll say it live on air. As much as I rip him saying he's brain dead, he's not. He's a very clever lad. He's very knowledgeable, and he knows his stuff.
And next week, it's all about Masha.
We're going to dedicate
the whole show to Masha and his fight, which is a week on Saturday, just round the corner, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're virtually at the end of your camp, aren't you?
Yeah, done my last spar last night. Right. So,
isn't it great when that finishes? Yeah. Isn't it? You just think, yeah, it's done.
And do you know what, everything fell into place on the last spar. Monday, we had some good hard sparring with James Hennigan and Callum Thompson, great amateur lads, and... you know, it was one's in for four, he's out, and then the other one's in for four. And
which is tough.
It's tough. And
you got fresh people bouncing in the ring.
Yeah, I was still recovering from Friday's session with Peak Performance, so you still feel a bit late, but you're fit
and
strong.
Do you train with that Peter Cito in there?
He's in there. He's training.
He's an absolute monster.
Yeah. So come Tuesday, I've done a lot more tech work and pads, done my run. Wednesday, I felt better, and sparred James again. And even James said, you know, wow, the difference in his coaches were like, wow, that was just unbelievable. And then I done four with him. And then Ray Boyer got in, he's like a middleweight, done four with him. And then Ben Bairam got in, who's a light heavyweight. So the lads got heavier and bigger.
Leaning on you, making you awake harder.
And I finished it sharp, strong, just brilliant, just superb. I'm happy, coaches are happy, the lads were quite shocked. So.
And the thing is, that makes a massive difference mentally as well. You look forward to the fight. You look forward to it. Mm. Not, you know, when you have little hiccups, I mean, no fighter would ever come on and say, you know, this happened wrong, but when everything goes right, it just makes everything better.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.